it doesn't get recorded, it didn't happen, Gabe.
True.
What's the point of just having a great conversation? What are we, just nice people?
Yeah. That's the possibility.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to IanEllis.Podbean.com. I'm your host, Ian Ellis, and today I'm joined by...
KB Marion, but now...
K Bizzle for Shizzle. I haven't seen you in about 2.5, maybe 3 months.
Yeah, I missed you.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
How have you been keeping up with the no comedy?
I've been writing a lot. I've been doing a lot of little, shit on Facebook and Instagram and stories and trying to figure out different ways of using social media. And now that I kind of have a lot of shit figured out, I'm like, oh, all right, I know I'm going to release a lot of material now. So,
I do have like 8 pages of notes.
No, it's just been a lot of trial and error because I couldn't figure it out. Like, that's the thing is, like, man, people try to tap on the algorithms and shit. It's like, fam, part of it is you kind of creating your own algorithm almost. Like, so, yeah.
Nah, man, it's about the creative flow more than the algorithm. If you're playing the algorithm, you just, like, you're going to be a zombie in no time.
So, yeah. When all else fails, I run to doing creative shit.
So we have a lot to catch up on. As coronavirus struck us all. The world freaked out. And then George Floyd. And then riots.
No, not then George Floyd. There was like multiple before George Floyd.
This dude got shot by the two dudes in the pickup truck.
Yes.
There's been like 3 Ahmaud people Arbery, since George
Breonna
Floyd.
Taylor. Yeah.
The dude from SNL had a cop step on his neck like last Saturday.
Jay Farrell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of the younger dudes. He's off my radar.
He does all the impressions and shit. He's an impressionist. Yeah.
And then riots.
And protests.
And protests.
And looting.
Yeah. And on top of it all, I recently read a book because of you. Called White Fragility.
No, don't blame that shit on me.
I subscribed to your Instagram, and you said this is going to be the next HBO series, How to Study White People.
Yeah. Tell me it's not. They're already selling out that bitch. Tell me it's not the must-have now. When The Wire was the must-watch, when every white person I met was like, do you watch The Wire? I'm like, no, I've never seen The Wire. Why do these motherfuckers, do you think I'm going to pay for a subscription service particularly for this show? Do you think I have that type of money? Look at you show your white privilege.
But you loan a password. Go check it out.
No, I'm just
Wire is so old, I remember renting it from Blockbuster. That's how long it's been.
I worked at Blockbuster when we were renting The Wire, so yeah.
So, let's talk about this book. We'll start here because that'll probably inform the rest of the conversation.
All right, so let's talk about... Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Here's my pitch to people to make it a little bit easier and more enjoyable to read. As I was reading it, it's about a white lady, and her job is to go to different corporations and talk to them about cultural awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And systemic racism.
And she basically found out what she did was bullshit.
Well, so what she does... She goes and tells people about racism, and everywhere she goes, it goes poorly.
Yeah.
They hate this chick. And she gets the same arguments again and again and again and again. And those people arguing with her are her customers, and her job is to smile and eat shit and politely redirect them to try and get them to the point that she's trying to get to, or at least to not offend them to the point that, you know, she gets in trouble or whatever. That's a lot of customer service eating shit.
Yeah.
And this book is her venting and letting all of that out. To the point that at one point she's like, and reader, I know you're triggered right now. So just go ahead and take a breath. I get it. Breathe. I'm sure you're just like the 8 million people I've met. Relax. We're going to get through this. Her partner is usually a black lady. I think, don't they have to be paired up?
Dude,
I would imagine.
Dude, could you just imagine, like, What's funny is my homie, my homie is the diversity coordinator, whatever, for a district in the Chicagoland area. And what's funny is, it's like, the job should really be, like, two people. And I was like, oh, they got a white and, like, she's biracial, she's mixed. And so I was like, oh, they got a two for one. Because they were like, you know both sides, so we could just put you in the position.
The Obama at the position. Well, I imagine the car rides home between them, bitching about white privilege, would make for an amazing podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm going to recommend, instead of writing another book.
Please don't write another book.
So you got mad at this lady. What? Who turned you?
What?
I read this going, KB is saying this is it.
Get
the message.
No, I'm laughing at the capitalistic aspect of it. That's what I'm laughing at.
Well, it's...
Because here's what's going to happen. Because I've already seen it happen. What's going to happen is that you're going to get a whole bunch of professional white liberals who go out and read this book. Because that's who's reading it.
And it's wine clubs.
Yeah.
It's Karens.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to have a diversity summit somewhere for like a day or two.
Look like a Tupperware party.
And then they're going to implement some bullshit for a little bit. And then it's going to fade. That's what they do with it. It's a trend.
Well, you've been talking about this, about like... We're skipping ahead here to the riots, but it's like, I don't know how we could ever do this whole conversation in order. Riots, let's start here. Yeah. I think that they are largely to do with COVID and people just being frustrated and ready to tear some shit up.
That's 60% of it.
And now people have the time to see this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like... fuck, shit will happen and you'll be like, I wish I could do something, I gotta go to work. Like, yep. We're all just barely getting by, but when there's no work tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
Fuck it, let's go do something else.
There's been motherfuckers. There's this one chick, she did a like, she came out with COVID kits during the protest. She was just handing them out to people, and they was like, how many days have you been out here? She's like, four. And they were like, you've been out here 4 days handing these out? She's like, yeah, well, COVID is still going on, and like, you know, but people out here, you know what I'm saying? And they was like, what do you do? And she was like, well, between waitressing and making my own clothes, like, this is what I do. Like, I'm basically like a gig artist, basically. And so she was like, since my gig is kind of...
I ain't got shit to do.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, so this is something that we wanted to happen. you know, you and I personally have both been like, overthrow them. Let's make some plans.
Submit, like, I'll flip.
Yeah. We wanted that 4 years ago, but I'll take it.
We'll take it.
So you're seeing the real shit happen, but mm-hmm. You're also seeing the fuck shit.
There's a lot of fuck shit.
There's a lot of fuck shit.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, on the flip side, is capitalists know how to turn everything into a way to make money and siphon and take it away.
Get back to work.
You know what I'm saying? You gonna get back
to work. Well, they co-opt it into some narrative they can sell.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, businesses throwing up BLM shit, and then like, hey, we cool. Like, it's like, don't tear up our shit, please. Like, it's like, all right, well, there's a lot with people tearing up shit that has nothing to do with that whole thing. You know what I'm saying? You got motherfuckers picking back off of the whole movement. Everybody trying to get some right now. Like,
out in Atlanta, Wendy's got to get one of those Burger King black hamburgers.
Hey, bro. It was white people who torched that Wendy's.
In Atlanta? I don't know. But I'm saying, in Atlanta. the white people wouldn't burn that motherfucker down?
What? Why are you saying Atlanta like that?
Because it's a black...
No, it's not. Atlanta is not. No, it's not. Dude, go look up the statistics. Their black mayor won by a sliver. They had to do a recount. Atlanta is very much, much turning very, very white. I don't know if you know this, but yes.
I thought Atlanta and Mississippi were like the black cities.
They were.
All right, so let me ask you about this, because we're jumping all over the place.
If you want to know where it's at, it's in Texas. That's where black folks is going, ironically enough.
Doing a shock jock show, I have attracted actual racists. And I talked to one of them, and he told me his view was like, I don't hate black people, I just want them to be separate from us. And don't mix the bloods and this, that, and the other. But I don't hate black people, I just want to be separate. And I had heard that same thing like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was like this aha moment where I was like, oh, that's their like underground narrative. That's like the story they tell them to like make them comfortable with racism.
Yeah.
That's how they've, the Southern strategy, like rebranded it and shit. And so now I'm paying attention, because it's powerful enough that I've heard it from two different people, 15 years apart, completely different.
A lot of people are getting this message. They still got that Confederacy blood in them.
But you never hear this message discussed on the news. It's like they keep it hushed.
When does the news ever discuss anything that's relevant?
Anything of substance.
Of substance that's relevant.
So they hit me to this guy, the kangaroo.
Okay.
Did you watch his video?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I will show you one at some point. We can't do it in the middle of the podcast. He's a funny guy, and he's like a million other YouTubers where it's like a cartoon character pops up and gives like the hot take opinion. Mm-hmm. But he's a race realist. And so it'll be like going along funny, and then he'll throw in like, and you know, because you know blacks self-segregate. And I was like, what? So tell me, do black people self-segregate?
Yes.
What? Now my mind is blown.
No, it's not. That's fucking common sense. Like, that's common sense. Everybody self-segregates. That's the reason why there's a Chinatown. The reason why people self-segregate is to survive. It's about survival. Because if you get caught too much where you are the only black, and you just the fly in the buttermilk, bro, some shit will go down. I have seen it and experienced it firsthand in Illinois, land of Lincoln. Got called a nigger and fucking nigger whore in Chicago by UIC. By a neo-Nazi. And when I was in, like 9 or 10, I was down in my dad's, down in like Southern Illinois, man. And that is straight. That's, they want to be the Confederacy so bad. And the KKK marched past our house because we were the only blacks in that neighborhood.
Well, let me tell you why I thought he was wrong. Uh-huh. I assumed he meant, you know, black people congregate in the ghettos, and I'm going, No, that's more like leftover racism, that's redlining, that's white flight, that's
no, that's what
system
he's talking
of poverty.
About. It is. That's what he's talking about. But all of those things impact why people are in those areas. So, like, for instance, you'll go to black neighborhoods, right? And somebody will be like, oh, this is the hood. Yeah, okay, to y'all, it's the hood.
They say that about every neighborhood, by the way. Bolingbrook.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Where it's predominantly black, and you don't even realize that the black people living there are, like, middle class, upper middle class. Like, some of them, like, y'all think, like, all right, let me put it into terms like this, right? Everybody's seen Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both of Craig's parents had, like, an honest job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had a nice house. Did, you know, neighbors kept up their yard. They get busted with a drive-by at night. All right. Now, what do you see about that whole neighborhood? Is that it, technically, that's not a bad neighborhood. Those aren't bad people living in that neighborhood. It's just...
Not like everybody's a little mob boss.
Yeah.
Sitting there with a warlord with an AK-47.
You know. So the perception, that's the reason why hipsters be feeling comfortable moving there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's real. It's cheaper. There's families there. There's a sense of, like, understanding, camaraderie. You try to build a sense of community. And the fuck shit is gonna happen, but, you know, the fuck shit happens.
The devil you know, better the...
Yeah. No, we know both devils, it's just... We'll
do prefer
one.
Black devil?
Yeah.
My devil's red, it's because it's blood.
Yeah.
Alright, let's go back to the book. White fragility. It's a good term. I got my buddy Jason. He has Audible. So anytime I start listening to a book,
yeah.
I text him to see if he wants to keep up with the conversation. And he was like, Ian, do you get uncomfortable having conversations about race? And I said, I do feel that defensiveness. You know, the woman in the book wants you to just, like, listen to everything without reacting. Like, just...
Yeah.
Just listen. Don't get defensive about it.
Right.
But I feel that urge.
Yeah. You know, well, what's funny about it is it, that book made me think about conversations I've had with my white friends where I could tell where they, this is really their thought, but they hide behind, oh, well, you know, to play devil's advocate. And it's like, and it's like, are you playing devil's advocate? Because you're getting mighty defensive about this situation, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, just I would rather you say how you fucking feel. Like, I, that is one of my jokes. Like, I would rather covert racism. I want to know how stupid you are, because there's nothing like, look at motherfuckers, how mad they are that they gotta cancel this person, this artist, that artist, da da da, because you didn't know that they was, if people would just be like out there with their, who the fuck they are, own up to it, you'll find them off, you know what I'm saying?
The world is not made for realness, KB. Our industry is made of phonies. Every industry is made of phonies. Everybody's just trying to keep a good public face together. Not many people are thinking, reading, rational. Most people are stupid. That's my take on humanity.
Yeah.
They live in a loop. They just enact stories that they see on TV and movies. Those are the goals they aspire to. That's their concept of love.
Hey, bro, dude, like, seeing, like, all of these white dudes looking like leftover extras from Sons of Anarchy and Dog the Bounty Hunter. It's like, what are you guys doing right now? Like,
and that's hanging on to something rather than making your own thing.
Like,
so... defensiveness. I want to say I also get that way about conversations about religion, politics. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of conversations I just don't want to have with people because I know that it's going to be like 5 minutes and then we hit a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, I just got to hear the same arguments over and over again until I go like, all right, man, I'm tapping out. You win. You're right. I'll think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's like, I feel like one of my biggest things is, like, if you're going to come to a conversation, then come to a conversation. Don't come for a debate. Like, hey, let me peep what you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
It's teams. And the thing about being on a team is you get to the point where you have to defend them whether you're right or wrong. You just can't afford to, like, let your team take an L, which is being more invested in the group thought than in truth. Which is what I would hope that we're all striving to find and uncover. So, I want to get to white culture. One of the first books that ever, like, flipped my head was Ishmael by Daniel Quinn. And it has this concept of mother culture.
Mm-hmm.
And mother culture is this invisible culture that's so prevalent that you don't see it.
Yeah.
And the idea behind it is that the earth was made for us and that it belongs to us, and that's so deeply ingrained in our culture that we take for granted that there could be another way to be human.
Mm-hmm.
That our way of doing life isn't the human way of doing life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like 15-20 years ago. I've read this book like 6 times. I've been talking about it for 15 years, written papers on it. Went to school for anthropology, minored in sociology, have a shitload of black friends. With all of this, it never occurred to me that white culture was invisible or didn't exist. I was like, how did that never cross my mind? I had all of these tools at my disposal and just never looked in that direction.
Like, for instance, like, I said this on my podcast. I was like, yo, like, I kind of have to know white culture. Like.
So you're saying it exists?
And in some regards, yeah. Because white culture is mainstream culture. Like, that. And what I mean is like.
Well, here's one of the tricky things is, like, white people are raised to be very individualistic. Teaching them that is white culture. Right. But the individualisticness of it makes you think that you don't have a culture.
Right. Like, the fact that, like, white kids be like, oh, I'm just going to go off and become da-da-da and travel the world. Like, obviously, that's not even every white kid. But that thought.
The like, Protestant work ethic, the Christian moral values. There's a lot of cut and paste.
Yeah.
And like you say, you got to know that we have all these jokes about walking white, talking white, putting on your interview voice.
Yeah.
Knowing how to infiltrate mainstream white culture, which was more apparent to somebody who is outside of the culture, but invisible to the people that are in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that got my attention. And now... I don't feel like she made a very good argument for how we can make progress. Because it came down to it, she gave an example of like a mediation she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the most robotic, hello, may I address you? Yes, I have had some concerns. I apologize if I did this in this way. Do you accept my apology? And I was like, that's no way to deal with real life. It's way too litigious for the general consensus.
Mm-hmm.
But I think two big takeaways I took from this for how we can make progress are, one, we need to articulate white culture, but give it a new story. Mm-hmm. Because this isn't about what happened in the past. It's about changing the stuff that's still in place that's affecting people's future.
Yeah.
And you guys don't want to be racist, so you want to get rid of this as bad as anybody else does, right? Like, you fell for it just like everybody else did. This is who we're going to be moving forward to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because we mean what we say.
Yeah.
But she never articulates any plan like that. Her plan, she literally said, I have to come to terms with my whiteness and just try to get as far away from my whiteness as I can. And I know that I'll never be far enough away from my whiteness.
Yeah, all right, white lady enough.
Karen.
Because, like, all she would have to do is turn to a black person and ask, what would be the next step? What do you think would be the next step? And that's my whole thing is, like, you had Eric Michael Dyson to do the forward, and then there is no culminating callback to the forward. And I was just like, dude, like, fam.
I spent a lot of time going, like, just wait, she's just laying stuff down. It's all going to come around at the end. It's all going to... She's just going to tie a big bow on all this.
Like, what is the next step, right? Like, that is... And I think that's the reason why I said, you know, like, for this... And with, like, a diversity, da-da-da, and whatever... But it won't necessarily, like, we have to keep putting the pressure on for, like, a long time. And I think that, low-key, the real talk, you have to burn some more shit. Because...
Well, it's going to continue. There's also going to have to be a... I don't know what the right word is. Reckoning is what comes to mind, but it's not reckoning where it's like the people burning shit down can't be unreasonable past a certain point. Like, you, all right, wild out right now, but once we start working on this, it's like if you got it right, burn everything down. But just if it's every single time someone gets shot, like the dude in Atlanta, the cop was well within his right to shoot that dude. Shouldn't have happened. It sucks. But that dude did everything wrong. He wrestled two cops. He took the dude's taser, shot at the cop.
The other one didn't have a taser.
he was running after him, and the dude turned around and shot behind him at the cop, and that's when the cop pulled out his gun and shot back.
All right, so while that was happening, on the other side of Atlanta, a white dude was shooting at the cop, and he made it to the police station.
So this is what I'm told, as to, they always go like, well, black people just stop resisting. If you just stop resisting, nothing will go wrong. Well, first it's just don't do crimes, and yeah. you'll be fine. And then it's just don't resist,
yeah.
and you'll be fine. And then the comeback to that is like, you know, they don't shoot these school shooters. How come you can arrest these school shooters, but you can't arrest a black person? And then the rebuttal to that is because the school shooters comply. Because when the cops show up, they lay down on the floor. That's why the school shooters survive, but black people don't. Those are the arguments I've been given.
That's not even logical. They know damn well that's not logical. That's not even logical. If a buddy with a gun is shooting at me, then yes, I'm popping back. This motherfucker was shooting at the cops with bullets, not a taser. And his ass made it, not a scratch, not a bloody nose, not a black eye, not a nothing.
They popped his shoulder back in place, gave him a neck massage on the way home.
Wendy's afterwards. That's really why they burned that bitch down. No, oh, man.
Well, the other Atlanta, they also burned down a Wendy's. The dude was drinking and driving, and he was so drunk, he fell asleep in the drive-thru.
Yep, I had a former colleague who did the same thing.
That is fucked up.
He didn't get shot. All
right, so a lot of people say there is no white culture, there's just American culture. And if you're going to go white culture, then you got to say, well, it's Italian culture, and it's good, Polish
yes.
culture.
Yes, do that.
But I don't identify with any of those. I just identify as white. So white culture must be real because that's what I am. I'm just I don't identify with Englishness or European anythingness.
Go back to your motherland.
Fuck that. We here.
So what are you saying?
Go back and be a tea chucker. I'm gonna go get my monocle out.
Hey, did you see that cop crying over a McMuffin?
No. It sucks to be a cop right now.
It does. Hey, but she shouldn't have posted that shit. Hey, shorty, don't post nothing. They probably put her on desk duty.
I wanted to talk about why do you think white people are so defensive? And,
because...
Okay. So, like, on my end of it, so say the liberal side, it's like, I didn't do it, I don't want to feel guilty for it. And on the conservative side, or people that are, like, low-key afraid of black people, like, they would tell you they love black people, but they've never met one, so they just sort of, like, are internally afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they think, like, copping to anything is the same thing as, like, legalizing black crime. They're like, we can't say that, because then they'll be allowed to just do whatever they want. We can't be responsible for all this.
The leaps and the lack and leaps of logic in that is really weird.
You're taking a subject that nobody wants to talk about.
Dude, you know what's funny about all of this shit? Like, I'm like, can we just talk about it so we can get over this shit already?
Well, the emotional side of it is what needs to be ended so that we can deal with the rational side of it.
Can you just get over it? Okay. All right, you feel guilty. Okay. Okay. All right, you need to... Okay, go ahead, cry. Cry and do whatever you need to do. All right, whatever. All right, boom. Now we passed that. All right. So
now, these are the changes we need to see.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
now, I think the idea of these are the changes needs to be articulated a lot better than it has been by a multitude of people. Because we act like racism is just like a guy.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
That's in everything.
Which is like, so how do we see it? If it's invisible, like...
It's like carbon.
Where is it too much, too? Because Like, you want to get rid of the power imbalance, but there's power imbalances in everything. In the sexes, in being taller and shorter, and, like, there's a million people that get shortchanged in a million different ways.
Here's the thing. A lot of black revolutionary people and rebels, or whatever you want to call them, enemies of the state, whatever, like... Some of them still got, like, warrants and
There's
shit.
People in Cuba.
Yeah.
Black Panther's in Cuba right now. Tupac's mama was in Cuba.
Yeah.
Tupac might be in Cuba.
Rita Sada, that's a good one. And they've been talking about all of the issues. Like, their issue wasn't just, like, no, this is not just racial. We're talking... economical too, because we see the people that is happening to that's down here. Y'all see that, right? And then some of them were like, man, fuck you, nigga. He's like, but no, you right there, but
it's
no,
a crass argument. They see us, right?
And so it's like all of them, if you go back and look at from, you know, shit, whether it was fucking, you know, the Underground fucking Railroad, you're literally taking money away. Like, your body is the money. You know what I'm saying? So, like, economically, all of that shit is economics has always been a part of it. And the thing is, like, those that have spoken about Angela Davis, people like that, they have always spoken about the idea of, like, Angela Davis talks about how white feminists don't get it. A lot of that's what a lot of work is.
Like, you're kidding me. Angry white women don't get something.
So, like, it's like you have all of these aspects of the shit, right? But it's always been there. And the thing is that, like, I always say, like, dude, like, the middle class and poor class of white folks that are like, yeah, Trump. It's like, dude. He don't give a fuck about you. Like,
well, one thing they say is it should be made into an economic struggle of poor versus rich, and that part of the way they prevent that from happening is by keeping us divided, you know, with biased media and racist media, so that we're always charged up about this issue. When really, most people walking the earth could figure it out and just be okay.
Yeah, but if those lower people would stop making harder for the other lower people, then okay, but we can't help the cause if you're making it harder for us and we all you can't be like, we need to get over this fence, fuck you, and then stomp them out and be like, I don't know how we're gonna get over, we need more bodies to climb up. Like, nah, fam, you just stomped out the other people that kind of helped us over the fence.
That's like, the middle class is shrinking. We need water. Fuck your middle class.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, so it's like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the others of the others have been saying, hey, if we get over this shit, we can get to some other shit. Like,
we can make a lot more progress.
Yeah. Why are y'all keep babies?
This is the same way with people that believe in religion and, you know, mm-hmm. a million different arguments. One of the reasons she points out that white people are super defensive is that they feel like they're good and moral people according mm-hmm. to society. And to acknowledge that society is racist is to acknowledge that they are racist mm-hmm. and that they're not good and moral people. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't want to oppose the society that they obey. They don't want to not fit in. Mm-hmm. Silence by conformity or fear. Like, there's a fear of what could happen.
And they thought that only existed in Asian countries.
You think it's just the Chinese? You have any idea what propaganda is? Take a class on advertising. You've been hoodwinked.
Yeah.
It's all a lie. You're all being played.
Like fiddles.
A privilege I'd like to see stomped out is customer privilege. Customers like to talk to me any kind of way, and I gotta sit there and just eat their shit, or I'll lose my job.
Yeah, customers really be doing the most. They really do.
We're going to lose that level of entitlement. I've been walking around feeling like, you know what, I am mad. Maybe I do have a reason to riot. Maybe I'm one complaint away from fuck this.
All this hot lunch. Fuck y'all.
I'll burn this fucking plucky duck to the ground. Test me today.
But now people are, and that's the other thing too. People getting fed up with like bullshit ass wages. Like, fam, people are broke. Like, when motherfuckers are talking about, like, oh, well, you know, we don't want them to be, like, welfare with the stimulus. I'm like, that little $1,200, fam, you know how expensive it is out here to live, fam?
Yeah, $1,200 isn't shit.
It ain't shit,
and that was one check. When it wasn't like we got one every month.
Right. When people heard that $1,200, it was immediately spent. It was gone. It was like, I need new tires.
I bought a couple movies.
Everybody got, like, one little treat for themselves, and then the rest was, like, bills, man. Bills, bills, bills.
Which, in COVID, is still going on. Mm-hmm. And previous to the riots, I was scared to death. And now I'm like, so is this, like, zombie worst-case scenario? Like, people are just gathering in mass everywhere. Like, we're just fucked. It's just, we're just fucked. Is that what you're telling me?
I was one of the people who...
Give
like,
up.
Who was like, man, this ain't shit. And then I was like, oh, this is some shit. And,
but they've stopped talking about death tolls.
Man, I look that shit up every day. I look that shit up every day. Because I have a client in Florida. And, man, like, she was like, yeah, our county's pretty bad right now. I was like, yeah, I got the news update.
I was scared to death when there was 3 cases in my, like, at, you know, whatever this tri-state area, mm-hmm. whatever they'll give you the update for, my county.
Her county is like at 46%. Best testing have tested positive.
We're talking about reopening stuff next week. And you gotta reopen stuff at this point, or else shit is just gonna keep getting worse. More riots, more tension.
No, I want to see white people really riot. Like the motherfuckers that pulled up.
They might do it for Chris D'Elia. Our friend Balky is not a pedophile. God's words were consenting. Burn it down.
Hey, dude. You know what's hilarious? Was that, like... See, this is too different. They were even segregated on the internet. Like, my black timeline, all of my
You heard about that shit before me. Black Twitter.
Yeah. Because I saw somebody post, who the fuck is Chris D'Elia?
I called my boy and I was telling him about it, and he referred to him as, oh, the Eminem dude. And then I saw on YouTube today, Hip Hop DX reported it as the guy from the Eminem video.
That's how black people know him.
Not anymore. Bye bye, Chris.
He does it bye to my forever. Bro, he was like, who? And I was like, yo, you know the dude that does the Eminem impressions? He's like, oh, yeah.
Stan. Damn, they got Stan.
He's a... Hey, man, everybody's like, oh, I knew he was a weirdo. Man, shut y'all bitch asses up. Y'all didn't know. Y'all was just hating.
I knew he fucked a lot, but it's so irrational to go after dramatically younger women. Because a lot of them, all right, they were 19. He was still 30. Looking for 19-year-olds when you're 30 is predatory, creepy behavior.
See, and black folks, we just dealing with our own creep on the other side while this was happening.
Well, R. Kelly, they made the same argument.
There's a new creep.
Who?
All right. Do you remember the show Sister, Sister? Mm-hmm. Go Home, Roger.
The little brother?
That little buddy?
Yeah.
All right, he's 39. His fiance is 19.
Oh, shit.
They got engaged when she was 18. They started dating when she was 14.
Well, that's commitment. He's been with her for a while. Jesus. That's the definition of grooming. And what do you do at that point? Because she'll be like, I'm in love. And you're like, yeah, but that's Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. And he, if you guys know who the group B2K is, this is on the black side of the internet. He also molested members of that boy band.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Touching kids.
Yeah. With their manager who groomed him.
You look at famous people and you're like, the baddest women in the world, like, line up to fuck these guys. I've seen Chris D'Elia at the Comedy Store just hanging out. Mm-hmm. Bad bitches dripping off his arms. Early 20s.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with that? You gotta go, team? You gotta?
Yeah. And that just barely legal. Like, that's like...
Last chance to ruin their mind?
Like, that's that, like... Well, if it's the age of consent with somewhere else, like, lower, that's what it would be. You get what I'm saying? Like,
well, and he's not like, go home, Roger, where it's like... Roger's, like, in love with this girl. Say what you want. He only has her. Whereas Epstein had hundreds of women. Yeah. And D'Elia had dozens, maybe hundreds of women.
Yeah.
And would have continued doing it.
Yeah.
Not like... if he quits, if he's like goes to rehab for sex addiction.
Hey, if your response is, man, why would they wait to say, your response is the reason why a lot of women wait to say things, because motherfuckers act like there's no way. Because, like, then, once again, then you have to admit to yourself, like, was there a moment where I went way too far? And you might have had a moment where you went way too far.
I've had a few.
You know what I'm saying? And you gotta own up to that shit, and you gotta change and make the steps, and really, and if they don't ever forgive you for that shit, then that's their right too. You know what I'm saying?
But you have to be accountable at least to yourself.
To yourself.
One of the things in this book she touched on was white woman's tears. And she
deadly
used the phrase it terrorism. She used the phrase, the terrorism of a white woman's tears trigger, you know, Emmett Till emotions in all black people. Like, do not cry around black people when they're grieving. Which sounds ridiculous. And I was talking to my buddy about it last night. And he's like, Ian, it's ridiculous. But yesterday I was pulled into the HR office. And as soon as I started making sense, this lady started crying. And he's like, there's nothing I can say to her tears.
Mm-hmm.
She's crying and I'm just a bad guy and I didn't do anything wrong to begin with. And just explaining that I wasn't wrong caused her to cry and now I'm a double villain.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, women just cry and sometimes they do it manipulatively and that's across the board. I date women, you date women. Mm-hmm. We've all dealt with these crocodile tears. Now, it happens.
This is what I said. As a joke, I said, black women will fuck up your shit, white women will fuck up your life. If it is over, they fucking up your life. But no, it's like, that is very real, and that applies to any black person, because I've seen it apply to, you know what I'm saying, where I've had to check some a white chick, and then everybody's like, oh, and she's acting all, you know,
it's emotional blackmail to get out of the situation.
To not have to take accountability, but then they want to act like they boss bitches. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
better be happy I was having a bad day, because if I hadn't have been crying about what a hard day I was having, I would have beat your ass.
Right. Right, with their pictures. But that's very real. That's very real. And you'll see a lot of
people should learn to have more control over their emotions, and women need to be held accountable to the fact that sometimes they do it manipulatively.
Yeah.
And that gets used racially as well.
Yeah.
Which is like an uncomfortable conversation. You don't, as a man, how does a man, you know, I can't go like, stop crying. Yeah. You're ruining the situation. This is a conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're sexist.
Yeah, or they're using it as, you know, some people, when they get angry, they're crying because it's just a way that they let out
Esteem?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, they not... It's not a like, oh my God. It's like, hey, I'm about to fuck you up. I don't even want to do this, but I'm about... You know, because, like...
I've been whooping somebody's ass. I cry.
And then I'm like, like afterwards I'm like, fuck, I didn't even want to do that. Like, why did you, like, you know, but it is very true. It is very true. Like a white woman's hysteria is like that's their superpower.
They got pussy beams and crocodile tears.
Yeah.
These bitches are lethal. Stop thinking they're harmless. Mm-hmm. They will destroy you.
They have carried on white supremacy, white crime.
Do not trust Hillary.
Hillary? Yeah.
One of the crazy things about the racist guy, the kangaroo, mm-hmm. is that he identifies as a liberal and he's a hardcore Hillary supporter, but he still uses all the coded language.
A lot of them do. I'm like, what? Just admit it. Just a, like the one.
It blows
bloody...
my mind. How do those two things reconcile to be a worldview? Like, aren't they at odds with each other? Too much, like.
But isn't all of it at odds with each other? Like, you, all of it is at odds. You have, once again, you have people that are voting against their best interests, and happily, and wearing merch to do it.
Well, I want to know what concessions they made to themselves, because that would be the attacking point. Because that's where you just hold their feet to the fire, where you go, really? But this. But, yeah, but this. Yeah, but no, but you said this. And that doesn't work with this. So are we on the same page here? I know you like it. I know it makes you feel safe and powerful and blah, blah, blah. But we got to set that down.
This is they stand. They don't give no fucks, man. They
it's
uncooked biscuits. This is they last. This is it, man. This is.
So the dragon makes the most noise before it dies. Mm-hmm. It slashes that tail left and right, and that would be like what Trump is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's having a fucking rally in Tulsa. If that ain't a tail slap, I ain't going out without a fight. Slap in the face, horseshit. I don't know what is. So the technology is spying on us. And I talked about this book on the phone last night, and I opened my YouTube and it suggested Chapo Trap House. It's a very popular podcast, helped create Cumtown, but they are political, reviews white fragility. And I'm like, I've never searched them. There's no reason for them to be in my suggestions, mm-hmm. but my phone knew. Mm-hmm. It knew I wanted their book review. And one of the points they made was that the way this lady describes racism is like original sin, where mm-hmm. it's like it's never-ending atonement for it. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the Trap House interview?
I didn't watch all of it. I laughed the first... I only got to 5 minutes, so that's the only part I'm going to talk about, because I always find it bogus when motherfuckers talk about what they ain't seen. But like, I found it funny because I was like, oh, I don't know if they was really getting down with this book.
They didn't like it. They said the lady seemed like she the kind of person that doesn't know what it's like to have friends or human interactions. Which again, like, the point of the book is to say this systemic racism exists and how do we deal with that? But they were caught on the side of, like, I don't want to feel like I'm not a moral person.
Yeah.
I just want to be comfortable in my interactions.
That's what I took away from the first 5 minutes. I was like, they not rocking with this. Like, and, you know, like, what I could tell was that they were these liberals who thought they were progressive who didn't want to own up to that. And a lot of them... To me, that's the bigger problem.
Well, they
look. My biggest problem is not like, oh, the right wing. Da, da, da. Like, dude, they've been talking the same shit since forever, since I was before I was born. We already know. It's y'all. We gotta.
Well, so these are the guys that think they're the cool progressive liberals,
mm-hmm.
and they look at the SJWs as being like crazy. Like, they feel like they're moderate, and everybody that's left of them, or anything that just doesn't jive with their general, mm-hmm. You know, comfort, is extremist.
Because they're pussy. I mean, because the whole thing is that they want to feel morally right because they feel like they have done all, quote unquote, the right thing.
They checked all the boxes.
They checked all the boxes. And it's like, dude, but the fact that you even checking the boxes, like D.L. Hughley said when he was like, if you know how many niggas done came up in your house this year, then you are definitely racist. And, but it's like, fam, like, come on. I could tell by the first 5 minutes, I was like, all right. That's the reason why I sent, like, ha-ha back. Because I was like, oh, these motherfuckers. And those are the people that sometimes be the hardest to, like, make understand.
To unwind.
Because they don't want to separate. Because then they want to go into classism. And I'm like, I feel you. But guess what? We getting our asses kicked as a, quote-unquote, minority of the United States. And we can't really help the cause of classism if we get our ass kicked.
You know what we need is an alphabet, just like the gay community, LGBTQ+. We're going to have communism, proletarian, liberal. We'll put all the letters together. And you'll be like, listen, umbrella. All right, I'm with your cause, but my cause is also important. Umbrella, all of this intertwines. Let's all work together. Mm-hmm. I think in time, as the culture gets smarter and things are progressing and getting better, mm-hmm. even though it may not seem like it, it's major progress. These invisible ideas, they'll be the next thing that gets canceled. Or maybe not the next thing, but I think eventually it'll be trendy to find invisible ideas and to just be finished with them mm-hmm. as the dialogue evolves.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in college 20 years ago, the article, The Invisible Backpack, had just come out, and the concept of white privilege was, like, new. Only people in academic realms knew of it. And now the whole world uses that terminology. And this lady's, like, a few years ahead of what the culture's got to catch up on, or what's going to get disseminated, you know, over the next two generations or whatever.
And the other thing is like, after you read white fragility, read other, like, black authors. You know what I'm saying? Like
who?
Read, like, some James Baldwin. Like, I'll start you with some, like, James Baldwin or something like that. You can read some Audre Lorde. Read some...
Iceberg Slim.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll give
He knows the white man.
Yeah.
That's one of the, like, low-key things to his thing. Because he deals with the system, and he's like, this is what the system is, and this is how you work around it. And I know this. He's like, I count on them to be racist.
If you...
And that's how I get...
if you want to read some, like, black shit that is, like, funny and fiction, read Paul Beatty's White Boy Shuffle.
What was the book that you just poo-pooed? I saw on one of your stories, you gave a book review where you're...
Oh, it was by this lady named Tamar Joyce, I think, called something about integration or some shit. So I think I had got it for a class, and I started reading it, and I was like, man, this book, I didn't know anything about the author, but I could tell by the book, I was like, oh, a conservative wrote this, because, like, it was everything about the failure of black revolutionaries. It was always like, well, their ideas were stupid. And it's like, no, the government took them out. what are you talking about? Like, it was a lack of, like, understanding each movement. It was somebody from outside trying to, very outside, very, very outside. It was just a terrible book. Terrible book. I think I'm going to burn it.
So I watch this YouTube channel called Comics Matter, and he's a guy that's, like, calling out all the cultural changes that are being mandated against comic books, where it's like, Spider-Man's bisexual now. Okay. And so he'll say, like, why not just have a new bisexual character and tell a bisexual story that is, you know, indicative of their life? Why take this old character and now just suddenly he checks a box?
But a lot of these characters, like... The other thing is, some of these characters, like, they do, if like, some of these comic book heads be killing me because I'm like, dude, like, the stories change based on the authors, based on, like, time, based on, like, who's doing the shit. I don't know that much about comic books, so I ain't gonna try to make myself look stupid, but it's kind of like, dude, who gives a fuck? Like,
people that read comic books want Batman to be Batman. They don't want Batman to suddenly be gay.
Suddenly be gay?
Now he's an Asian gay person, and Alfred is black.
That makes sense.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
It is culturally updated.
Dude, Batman kept a twink around. Stop playing. Stop playing.
He's going in comics code on him. And like, he's always been a pedo. He's Chris D'Elia in a bat suit with a cape. Yeah, I am the one that stalks the night. I am Batman. Stink, Chris. I hope your whole team gets fucked up.
I don't know, but, dude, maybe they're trying to get him back for that last special.
Worst special of 2020. Brendan Schaub cried.
Wait, what?
Brendan Schaub cried talking about the allegations. He just felt so betrayed. And
Hey, that motherfucker got thick.
His clothing line is called Thick. That's no bullshit. He really sells thick boy clothes.
No, okay, bro.
So this comic guy, he was talking about a comic, there's a new one, about how Aquaboy is gay. And he's black, and he has an Asian gay boyfriend. And
they What's with the gay Asians?
I don't know. They think Asians are super gay for some reason. That's like the prejudice of liberalism, where it gets too woke.
Yeah.
When woke goes too far.
We're going to go gay, but you're... We're just going to do it all. Relax. I do agree that there does need... Come up with some original, like, actual characters that are in that... That's the part of their story.
Gay superhero, that'd be fucking dope.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't... That's just lazy. That's just lazy PR people.
It doesn't,
like,
bug you
we,
on some level, the idea of you look at a comic and Superman's kissing a dude.
Can we make Thor trans next time? Can we...
They made him a woman. But from what I hear, that was actually, like, a really good story. A lot of times their complaint is, like, I would be fine with the changes if they were good storytellers, but the SJWs are also awful at writing. Like, they always write everybody as if they're perfectly powerful and they can't have any flaws because they're sole social justice warrior. You know, gay character can't be flawed. A black character can't be flawed. So they never have to overcome anything. And they're, like, overcoming adversity is a big part of the human experience and storytelling. You just gotta put it in there, or you just can't do this job.
Yeah.
So he's talking about gay Aquaboy. And the only white characters in the book are bullies and homophobes that try to beat up the character. They drive a pickup truck. classic homophobes. there's a lot of shit-talking white people in it, and he refers to that as racism. Now, I previously would have fallen for this, but listening to you in this book, racism has to do with the system and power, and if there's no power in play, it's not racism. You can call it bigotry, I guess. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit better? I kind of abstractly have the idea in my head enough that when he said that today, I went, that's technically wrong. It is not racism to be bashing the white people because... There's no position of power to affect white people.
Yeah, because, like... Yeah. So, like, racism is a part of every system, right? Like, I don't give a fuck what nobody say. You could be like, oh, she tripping. It could be... Yo, tell me a system that there is no racism, and I'll be shocked. And not just in the United States. Across the globe, there, you know, so but it's just systemic, you know what I'm saying? Somebody who is oppressive, now you can do some shit that's bogus and it can be discriminatory and it's part of a racist system, but that person is a bigot, you know what I'm saying?
So the ones that are name calling are like actively, intentionally being racist, those are bigots. And then people that genuinely think of themselves as good moral people, but they're participating in a system that distributes power not equally or not inequitably.
Yeah.
With no equity. Equitably? That's the word. Equitably. Mm. They're participants in a racist system.
Yeah.
Or power structure. And so you can't be racist toward white people.
Right.
But you can be bigoted.
Yes.
Yeah. And it feels like that idea should be made a lot clearer. Because that's a lot of the conversation is like, oh, it's reverse racism.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like... Like, I would see on Twitter the other day, I saw, like, a pink-haired girl crying. And she was saying, anyone that has a Confederate flag is racist 100%. And she's sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I would look at her as an insane fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And she is. But I understand now that she is actually technically right. She's just... going about it in a completely insane and deranged way.
That shit is so fucking corny. Like, I think, like, what's... I think the Confederate flag is so corny. Like... you know where it came from. Why are you holding on to that?
Like, how come there's not people holding on to British flags?
Like,
we were a colony first.
What's funny,
it's our heritage.
Is that they get, those are the same people that get mad when they see like a Mexican or a Puerto Rican have their flag up. Like, you're American.
I'm so insensitive.
Oh, it's weird, man. It's weird. It's like, you don't see the hypocrisy in that? Okay. Suffer. You don't own no mirrors, huh?
Alright, you want to pack up a bowl?
Yeah.
And, let's shift gears and talk about the riots.
Yeah, all right.
There was a lot of unfocused anger, which is good and important because that gets the point across that something needs to change. But then at a certain point, it becomes like, so what are the demands?
Yeah.
And there weren't a lot of people articulating what should change. Because it's not about that one case. It's not about a racist cop.
No, I saw a lot of people take shit to their police departments and their mayor and sent shit and wrote shit in. I know a lot of people had, like, different little, like, things that you wanted incorporated.
There was, like, the 8 changes people wanted.
Yeah, and you could send them to your representatives and shit like that. And I know a lot of people's doing that. I know people in Aurora met with the police chief and the mayor. And then the police chief went on vacation and people were super pissed. They was like, hey, in the middle of us trying to figure this shit out, your bitch ass want to go on, she wants to go on vacation.
Which I get it.
Yeah.
I want to go on it too.
After a car, you know, Aurora had their little shit pop off a little bit.
Right by the riverboat.
Yeah.
We tore down some lady's dojo. She was home, heard the news, and ran to her dojo to defend it.
Hey, La Quinta is still up, though. Best Mexican.
Shout out to La Quinta. Aurora is where I went to high school. So I think that the conversation that needed to be had or that needs to be had is that we're not doing policing the right way.
Right.
And I'm very...
And I don't know, not to interrupt you, but to... I don't know if you saw, but a lot of... A lot of people had outlined what they think policing should happen, what defunding the police looks like, all that type of shit. So I think that that's one of the things that people got to get out of their head. Like, oh, they don't know what they want. No, people, there's a lot of clear outlines of what people want. And
defunding the police isn't getting rid of
the police.
It's
actually
de-escalating them from a standing army.
Yeah. And I think that police need to, like, step back from their ego and really listen and take it in. Because people are basically saying, y'all trying to do too much. No, for real. Like, that's what it essentially is saying. Like, y'all can't come to a situation that's for a mental health patient and not have the... You don't know what to do.
Not have the capacity for it.
Yeah. And then now you done tased some kid that has... something or a mental health.
It's like you're using one solution for every problem.
Every problem. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, they should step back and be like, you know what? If we talking about it in this regard, then yeah, okay, we get that. Maybe we do need to take some of this shit off our plate. Maybe we do need to have officers that are focused primarily on specific issues, and that's what people are trying to talk about, and they taking it, well, you don't want, like, stop juicing for a second. Take your hands off
take
your
wife. Take a breath. I know you're triggered. Yeah. Take a breath.
And listen to what we saying. We saying that y'all are getting bogged.
And this is for everybody's good.
Yeah.
And disproportionately, more black people get killed by cops than white people. But on the whole, more white people get killed by cops than black people. Well, so for everybody's safety.
Exactly. Let me tell you. I have a friend. She's conservative. One of my good homies. White lady. Christian. Conservative. But, like, we connected because she was like, oh, I'm from Philadelphia. Duh. Like, yeah. I was like, my favorite football team is Philadelphia Eagles.
Shout out to Brandon B. Hurd. Philly.
And so,
fuck Kevin Hart.
Don't do that. And so,
soy burger ass.
And so, she hit me up and she was like, no, I see what you're posting. And she was like, no, I feel you. And then she sent me the story of her godson. Godson was murdered by the police. And it was a white boy. And I went to her friend's page that she had dedicated to her son. And it was all these shootings that happened by the police of unarmed, like, her son was unarmed, a jittery cop. He was like, oh, it was an accident. They let him off. Like, let him off. And just, her son was 17 years old, like, about to go off to college and shit. Like,
just, well, this is where we gotta unpack a lot of different issues.
And so, like, she was like, I understand and I agree. And so, like, the whole page was of these shootings since that happened. And it's just like, damn, like, all right, you got Black Lives Matter, but all y'all talking about, like, well, white people get shot by the cops. Why aren't y'all out there? Because they're protesting for something that will benefit
you.
Those, yeah.
In larger numbers.
Yeah.
You still get the best bang for your buck.
Yeah.
You still win out of this.
Yeah. Like, it's like, no, we know it's happening to you, because if it's happening to us, it's going to happen to you.
Because the problem, while racism is at play, the mm-hmm. problem isn't necessarily racism. It's policing is not being done the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board, mm-hmm. we need to restructure the way we do policing,
mm-hmm.
because it's too violent.
Yeah. And
one last thing about the white people being shot more, it's like, all right, well, then how come the news never covers that? Now, I don't watch the news that much, so maybe I'm a bad person. Do you watch the news more than me? I don't remember it since I tuned out.
No, but I do remember there was a time where, you know, Black Lives Matter was marching for the white people that were shot. And no news station reported about it.
They didn't cover it.
Because
it doesn't fit their narrative.
It doesn't, yeah.
Their divisive narrative.
They was out there for this one white boy.
You're liberal, but you got a narrative.
He had a gun in with his cell phone, and it was a white dude. And they went out there and marched for him peacefully.
I want to say John Stewart said a thing where he's like, the divide isn't liberal and conservative. He's like, there's a bigger difference between people who have kids and people who don't have kids than there is between liberal and conservative. We're all basically want the same thing of, like, opportunity, safety, the ability to move forward. We're all basically on the same page about all that.
Yeah.
So the real argument should be justice versus injustice, and we should all be against injustice for the common board, for the common good across the board. But it's hard to report on that because that becomes an issue rather than a long-running narrative line.
There's been protests across the nation the past week, peaceful protests across the nation and worldwide. No riots, no looting. I ain't hear no real conversation. You know what I'm saying? Now, mind you, I got a new TV. I'm big balling, you know what I'm saying? Got the new TV, got the whole setup, walk the band, everything.
It's COVID, you got time too.
Channel set to news station. So before I hit an app, it's news. I watch that for a little bit. And all this week, online, I'm following where protests are happening, what's going on. They had a peaceful protest here. I go watch the news. Doom, gloom, blood, and slut. Like, it's like, dude, like, y'all really are into trauma porn. Like, y'all was only...
Well, into traumatizing the population.
Yeah.
Which is not good. You're emotionally traumatizing the population. And I'm not saying you have to report soft stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying you have to not hype up a false narrative and dichotomy for the sake of pushing an agenda. So one of the changes that should come out of this should be media coverage of police and police brutality across the board. Let's get a lot more informed about this issue across the board, and not just when it happens to a black kid.
Yes.
I'll give you some of my hot take answers to solve police brutality. One is they should be like the fire department. They come when you call them. You don't call them, they don't come. I don't like the idea of an occupying force. Like, I get scared when I see a cop around, even if I haven't done nothing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's reasonable. I don't know how much crime gets prevented by them being patrolling. But I think that would be nice. I proposed a two-tier system. Regular cops who handle most situations, domestic violence, everything you need a cop for, theft. These guys are there to de-escalate the situation and arrest you. Mm-hmm. If you do not comply, then we call the second tier, which is the murder cops. Mm-hmm. And they're allowed to use whatever force is necessary for the situation. But those first guys got little shields and no automatic rifles. Mm-hmm. I think if we're a general if we're a peaceful population, it should be agreeable and amenable that is the majority of the police force, mm-hmm. and we can make room for the extreme police force in extreme situations. Mm-hmm. Now, the argument's going to be like, a situation turns extreme real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, like, there's going to have to be some kind of concession made, because right now we're applying extreme force to everything. Situation, and I'd rather have moderate force applied to every situation and extreme force used moderately. And part of signing up for a cop is you might have to eat it.
A majority if that of shit prisons comes up. Are people in jail are for nonviolent crimes.
Which part of how policing changed was it shifted to the drug war. And so rather than retroactively solving crimes, which takes time, you just go after reaching in a guy's pocket. And whoever racks up the most arrests gets promoted the fastest. So it promotes a culture of short-term gain, and you're ignoring what I would deem real crime, or like, mm-hmm. you should solve things. You should figure out what happened more than I care if somebody has drugs in their pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think there's a lot of shit that I'm just like, as far as I'm concerned, you got to, like you said, you've been saying, like, you got to change the whole system, because a lot of times I've seen situations where cops have not taken something seriously, and it's like, yo, dude, like, this shit is fucked up, and y'all are just kind of whatever, lackadaisical. And then I've seen instances where the cops went way overboard, and it's like, yo, for that?
And sentences for drugs, if you get busted just for drugs, like, you're not killing a guy, you're just high. Well, even if you're robbing. But if you're not killing someone, if you're just a drug addict, forced 30 days of jail sobriety and therapy, mm-hmm. you're locked up in a cell. There's no way you're getting drugs. You're mm-hmm. getting sober, and maybe more than 30 days, maybe mm-hmm. 3 months. And then you get out. Mm-hmm. There's no need to tack on years and years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, if you get popped for that 3 times, all right, well, then we could talk about years. Yeah. But, you know, how badly do you want to be a drug addict?
Yeah.
You know, people seem to want to get sober.
Yeah. So, it's kind of like... So, yeah, it's...
My wife and my baby. I tried to talk to my wife about the book, and she immediately hit me with everything that the lady in the book said that, you know, the people would say to her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right. I'm not prepared for this conversation.
People get there when they get there. You know what I'm saying?
Cause, I'm not trying to fight.
Yeah. Because, like, it's so funny because these conversations ain't no thing to me. Because I've always had these, not always these type of conversations, but, you know what I'm saying? I've always had conversations about race. Like, because I was a teacher, and I went to college, and, like, oftentimes I was the only black or whatever it may be. So I always, like, I remember one time I was in an education class in college, and we were talking about like different activities and ways to engage different cultures or whatever. And this one girl goes, and yeah, and so like with colored students, and my professor goes, excuse me? She's like, what did you just say? And she said, coloreds? And she was like, she's like, I haven't heard that since the 50s.
1964.
She was like, and I grew up during it. I remember integration. She's like, don't you ever say any. And this is an older white lady. But she was just like, what the fuck did you just say? What the fuck did you just say?
Well, one thing they throw in this book that caught me off guard, I'd never heard the term Latinx. Do you know what that is? Mm-hmm. What is the X for? This is not me trying to be some kind of bigot, fuck them. I'm just like, I just don't know. I didn't know. This is a terminology.
Hey, that's what they... I don't know either, fam. I don't know. Unknown? Like, different... You know what I'm saying? Because some Latin cultures are not necessarily Hispanic. So you don't want to use Hispanic. And then... So, yeah. I don't know, bro. I don't know. I just try to be respectful. You know what I'm saying? But, no.
How do you feel when the Mexicans are talking about Latino rights? You're like, would you shut the fuck up? We're trying to work on our thing. Just like the classist people are doing to the black people. Are they...
Honestly, yeah. Honestly, yeah.
They're going to be like the transgenders where they break out. Where it was like, you know, 60, 70 years of work for gay people, and then trans was like, bam, I'm here.
No, man. No, I just think that it's not even on some, like, fuck everybody else. It's like, nah, man, we really need to have this conversation about this shit that's been going on since we got here. Like, I know when y'all got here, but, like, this is, like, my great-great-great-grandmama. Like, please, can we fix some
we
shit?
We gotta wrap this up first. We'll take care of you. I promise.
Like, we black and brown love, but please, can we please?
Can you imagine
this
that?
This will move and help y'all. Trust and believe.
Can you imagine that snub if white people, like, got super woke about Latina issues and started like changing everything the way you always dreamed and hoped and wished that they would for Mexicans?
Well, that's what Florida is for, right? Florida and Texas and Arizona.
Gators.
All them Latinos out there, Latinx, whatever. A lot of them be... It's starting to turn now. And the new generation of Cubans that's there in Florida, they're not as conservative for a while. A lot of Cubans there consider themselves white. And then when people started to really get, quote-unquote, woke and started to look at Fidel Castro and his regime, looking at it like it was fucked up. But you know what? So it wasn't all bad. Because the regime that was in was keeping us down. And I mean, granted, Fidel kept us all down. But some of that was through embargo and all that shit. And so I think that there's a different history behind it now where they're like, you know what? Nah, like, that was a part of the problem. Like, you know, racism and classism was very huge in Cuba and the Cuban culture. So the Latin... Latinx community down there is like shifting towards more progressive shit. And then in Texas, you know, it's a mixed bag. It depends on where they live. If it's, you know, but a lot of Latinx community, there's that will assimilate to white culture.
Are these Mexicans self-segregating? Hell yeah. Yeah, they buy up a block.
Hey, man, they don't give a fuck, man. If the only business everybody know how to do is make tacos, they putting up 30 tacos. Stop playing. Yeah. I'm not even from that. Hey, I'm from Aurora. If you go to Aurora, Illinois, so, and I ain't mad at it. I ain't mad at it at all.
Policing. It's an incredibly hard job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a chicken guy. I said this on a different podcast. I make chicken, I bake chicken, I smoke. That's what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And my life doesn't stop when I get to work. And sometimes I get frustrated dealing with these customers.
Mm-hmm.
Customers that just want chicken. Mm-hmm. It should be a simple enough thing to deal with. But sometimes I want to kill them. If I had mm-hmm. the power that a cop had, if I had their monopoly on violence, I would surely be pistol whipping some of these customers over their shitty attitudes toward chicken. And a cop's job is a lot harder because you're pulling over people and they're like, what the fuck did you pull me over for? What the fuck? And you're seeing the worst parts of society and domestic abuse and like
trauma. Not all the time.
Well, my point is like...
Not all the time.
You can't deal with that all the time and be expected to make the right decision all the time. And part of the change might have to be a week on, a week off, or something to psychologically deal with the trauma of doing the job.
I agree with that, but those are weed coughs, everybody. But I will say this. There are cops looking for action. So some of them might be like, well, I only got this week on.
Another issue that needs to be addressed is getting rid of sociopaths that are just there to beat on people.
Yeah.
Because is that what we are? We're here to beat on people? That's what you're looking for? Some enforcers? With a mob?
Yeah.
We need to root those people out more.
But that's what they want, because they want that money. Cops, everything they do is tied to... cops give you a ticket like they're selling you a car. Like, I could give you this, but for you, I'm just going to make it this.
I'm going to put you in the speeding. I'm going to put it at 5 over. But you're going to have to come to court.
Yeah.
And show your insurance. It is a problem with that they need to make money and that they don't make enough money. Because if your life is fucked up, if, like, you know, your brother-in-law is spun out and has a drinking problem, you can't call off of work to deal with life. So you got your trauma and you bringing it to work. You can't bring that to work.
Yeah.
You want to talk about you can't have bad apples. Well, you need to provide a situation where when you're a bad apple and everybody gets there just going through life,
but I also
you cannot go to work.
I also think that's in hand, but I also think that goes with the idea of separating into different departments of what you're doing so that there's specialization, so that people who are in that are specializing in it, and so that way when you get that specialization there and having to force people to study and train for specific situations, it'll create an environment where people want to go into that field. See, the thing is that
it's not police, a diverse enough field.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just policing.
Yeah, you know, now, right now, policing is basically, some cities it's like, there are some cops that do it because they want to see it make a change and be a good part of the community. And then there are some cops who tried to get into such and such work, but they couldn't get in, so they became cops. There are some that went to college and became, like, but all of them, there's the fucking Vin Diesel wannabe bro, Mark Wahlberg motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? You got
aggro, bro.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it's like the...
Red Bull.
Yeah, like, and it's like, y'all got AC Slaters all across this damn...
Playing AC/DC as they drive down the street.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got all these motherfuckers across here, and expecting them to be smart, like...
Drinking and driving is a problem. There should be a drinking and driving squad. That's all they do is they go out and they look for drunk drivers... And if you're a regular cop and you happen to see someone, you call it in, you follow them till the drinking and driving cop arrives, and then you leave the situation. If you gotta pull them over, you gotta pull them over, but you wait till the drunk cop arrives. Domestic abuse, you can pretty much, it's an identifiable enough crime.
Yeah.
There can be a domestic abuse department.
Yeah.
Theft, that's where you escalate a little bit more, all right? Yeah. Maybe these guys have guns, but the other ones don't, you know. And that means more jobs.
Yeah.
And more fields.
And more training, more education. Like, I mean, dude, like, it's a...
Bureaucracy is jobs. I know you hate it.
Yeah.
You want one solution for everything, but let's employ people to do specialty fields because we're advanced enough as a civilization in the country.
Make a TV show about it.
The drunk cops is going to be the most popular. Like, they had the college one.
Yeah.
That was all DUI cops.
You know what I'm saying? Like...
a murder squad that can solve murders.
About like how much TV is geared towards like cop propaganda. You know what I'm saying?
One of those invisible things is that we're a militaristic country. Mm-hmm. So our toys are action figures with guns, soldiers. Mm-hmm. you know, we glorify
these poor kids.
We glorify guns and war and country, and you get indoctrinated into that war mentality.
Yeah.
Which I'm not asking it to stop. I'm just saying it's there.
The U.S.
blew my mind when I heard about it.
The U.S. ain't never did shit without force. The U.S. is a bully. Fuck out of here.
You know, you want us to be evil like China? We're just going to come over and subvert you. Which I'm sure we do plenty of that. I'm sure as many ways as there are to do evil, we do that at the exact same time.
Leaders that end up slaughtering the people that you thought you were going to save. And you gave no fucks because you got out what you wanted out of the deal. There's a multitude of different instances in United States history where that has happened. Putting up shadow and puppet governments, knowing that it's going to collapse and be fucked up, and be like, oh, well, by the time it gets fucked up, nobody's going to remember that we did that shit anyway.
Especially with the news moving fast today. Yeah. I'll close out with this, unless, you know, you got anything, don't let me limit your voice as a straight white male. Don't let me.
Oh my, yeah, don't patronize me like this.
Well, the white lady in white fragility had to say to her friend, like, I apologize for my whiteness and any blah, blah, blah.
But was the black lady that did the tours with her, was she on the book cover?
Did she make it?
She got
you gave her one more thing to feel guilty about.
Dyson and then bounced. And now you doing all these seminars, dude. I started listening to that book and shit. The audiobooks. And, fam, all these ads for, like, different seminars. And I was like, dude, I don't need a white fragility seminar.
That's one thing.
I would go there with like popcorn and just sit in the back and watch.
Chapo Trap House pointed this out, is that this lady is promoting an industry, and that she's saying
she's not promoting an industry. She's tapping into an industry. It already existed.
Right. Well, she's saying there's no cure. There's only treatment. And my book is part of the treatment. And it's a problem that, you know, she's invested in not actually ending the problem, because her job depends on the problem continuing to exist.
Right. And
she's not
going
to negate the necessity of her own existence.
With this book, that's the reason why I said it's going to be a couple of little diversity bullshits and then it's going to be done, is because I was like, dude, y'all are heralding a book made by a white lady, telling y'all how white y'all are. But y'all will not read a book by a black author that's telling y'all how white y'all are. Like, dude, in the act of making that so popping that people couldn't have to wait to get it, if you don't see that veil, that the irony of that, and that's the reason why I laugh.
She should have called that out in the book.
The idea of this whole thing, that's the reason why I joke about it, because the capitalistic nature of society inherently benefited a white woman off black people's oppressed shit that black people have been saying in a multitude of works
for ages. Oh good, she gets the credit. Well, I'm glad the idea is out. But typical.
And then I was like, let me get Dyson to write this little five pages.
She cucked Dyson. She said, come here, Uncle Tom. Come co-sign this. I'm the savior. Let me save you guys. Give me a little co-sign.
That was about that shmoney. You know what I'm saying?
Shmillionaires.
Yeah. Fucking no, they rich all shill for the different corporate media fucks anyway.
I wanted to close out with the shit that we've been seeing on Facebook. So
what? There's been a lot of fun shit.
I'm going to throw my buddy Johnny P under the bus. He wrote, if you don't understand systemic racism, get the fuck off of my Facebook. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And he's like, read a book if you don't get it. And
Johnny P ain't never read a book.
I'm like, Johnny, I promise you couldn't explain it to me. And if I called you right now and said, hey, man, what's his name? He couldn't articulate it for a minute.
It's like, you know.
Bruh, you know
everything,
what I mean?
Man.
Yeah, everything. But there was a lot of vitriol. And so it was like, that's part of the thing you can't trust when shit starts happening, where you're like, all right, let's wait and see how much of this is fucking bullshit. And one of those first red flags was like, as soon as people started talking about how to be an ally or like articulating these are the changes we want, that's when it started dropping off.
Really doing too much. Bro?
I want to hear your reaction to.
Yo, some of y'all are really doing the most right now. Like, educate yourself. First off, nobody wants to hear white people cry about the time that they laughed at their friend Johnny at a sleepover in 1993 where somebody called him a nigger and then you laughed and you were 10 years old and you wished that somebody had said something and you wish you had said something.
You felt victimized in the situation.
All right, bro. Okay. We get it. It's about you now. Shut your bitch ass up.
Those are white lady tears.
Like,
that's the Facebook version of white lady tears.
You know what I'm saying? Like, enough. And it's just like, you know, people who think they got an invite to whatever this proverbial cookout is, thinking, you know, doing these corny-ass, whack-ass jokes that they think black people want. Like, it's just white people, y'all doing too much. Here's what we want y'all to do, okay? We want y'all to get, number one, get motherfuckers, get off y'all lazy asses and vote. Because y'all be scattered everywhere. We need y'all motherfuckers to vote. I'm dead ass serious. I know it sounds stupid, but just try it. It can't hurt. It can't hurt. It can only help. I'm saying, dude, like, you gotta reach, so I gotta say it.
I'm scared to vote. Coronavirus.
Man, fuck that.
We might be in the end times, KB.
I'm going there in a bubble.
This may be the end. I'll mail it in.
I'll mail it, whatever I gotta do. But, and then it's like,
fucking hey, hate Joe Biden. Hey, and then, fucking hate Donald Trump. I hate this fucking system.
And then, but then the other thing is like, make sure y'all, you know, look out for the communities and support, you know.
Who are you
when
saying?
When you gentrify, go to the local community spots that you are gentrifying. Don't be like, man, I wish that was da-da-da here. No, man, like, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of y'all motherfuckers be going like, oh, this is a cool neighborhood. This is where da-da-da. But by the time it's that cool neighborhood, you done slept on it. And you live there. And it's been super gentrified. So all the cool shit is gone because they can't afford it no more. So, like, support local
business. Well, that's sampling black culture. That's, like, on YouTube.
No, that's every culture.
On YouTube right now, simp is a hot word. And it's like, that's 2014 language in the black community. But, you know, they got it now, so they're running with it. The moment is past. Like, if you're invested in being cool.
Yeah, you get a... people don't know how to quite tap into the culture. And when somebody finally does and brings it to the forefront, it's usually an agent of the state. Somebody like Drake is an agent. Drake is an
agent. For Canada? Yeah. Who's the agent for? I know he's a pedo. He's trying to, he was grooming Eleven from Stranger Things.
Is that true?
That's what I heard. It's all DMs and shit.
Word. That makes sense.
He ain't been canceled for it yet, but it's floating around.
Well,
Chris D'Elia, he may be next.
They ain't about to cancel Chris D'Elia.
Oh, he's over. He's fucking over.
Ain't his dad in the industry, though?
Was he gonna come back as the Dane Cook guy? You think you could be silly after something like this? It's like, you gotta talk about it. If you're a comic, if you're any kind of comic, he at least talked about it. Might not have been as much as you want or what did you want him to say, but he talked about it.
Chris, did you see Chris D'Elia's statement?
Yeah. He was like, I never intentionally tried. But one was 16 and one was 14. And they were...
Oh, wait. There was... Because all the stuff I saw, I was like, oh, they were 18. They were 19. I was like, that's fucked up. But damn.
A lot of them were between 17 and 19, which was legal in the particular areas he was at. But again, just being 30 mm-hmm. and targeting 17-year-olds mm-hmm. on, like, Tinder apps,
mm-hmm.
that's some fuck shit.
No, it is.
But
it
then is. Some of them also turned out to be 14 and shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was, if it had been lower, he would have went lower. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was...
If the app would have allowed him to be that kind of monster?
Yeah.
He would have been. And they say he was taking pictures of them, and hopefully this will come out in court, that there's a group of comedians in a group chat, mm-hmm. and he sends pictures of them with memes, making fun of them after he bangs all these different girls. And he's been married for a minute, so your girl going to take half of that money? What's going on with that marriage right there? And he got a baby, recent baby.
Did he get herpes?
I'm sure he got everything. Everything? Everything. Everything.
Man.
So, I don't know. Closing thoughts. I believe white culture is real and that it needs to be articulated in a new direction.
Yeah, and the people in Ian's comment section, y'all bumps. I was so disappointed. I thought I was going to see a good response.
Well, so on Facebook.
I thought I was going to see hockey.
People don't know what you're talking about. On Facebook, I put out a question. Question to my whites. How would you describe white culture? I think I put like, or... habits or something, like some caveat to help people kind of rein it in, because I knew immediately people were just going to go, there is no white culture. We're all individual. Mm-hmm. We're just American. All right, well, how come there's a black culture and they're American and a Mexican culture and they're American? There's not a white culture because you're the standard for what American is, but you don't see that as a culture. Whatever you're defining as American culture, that's what your white culture is.
What do you call that, WASP?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they assimilated to WASP. Like, all of those immigrants assimilated to WASP culture in some regards. The Italians did it. The Irish did it. You know what I'm saying? Like Italians are fighting over the Christopher Columbus statue in South Philly, fam.
Well, in past a couple generations, you got to just integrate. I'm on that with being an American. It's cool they used to be Italian, but you got to get with being an American. And I've lost my train of thought.
But fam, what I'm saying is, y'all are, oh, Christopher Columbus. I'm like, he didn't even sail for Italy, though.
People don't want to know the truth about Christopher Columbus. He was a monster. I like the stories I heard in school when I was being indoctrinated, when I was pledging allegiance to the flag for one nation under God, indivisible.
But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't, like, I'm like...
Liberty,
like,
and justice for all?
Okay. Okay.
For all?
Okay. Okay, they were indoctrinated. But I know they bitch asses that were out there trying to guard the fucking Christopher Columbus statue watched Sopranos. I guarantee you they did. And Sopranos did an episode called Christopher. And what do they call out? Christopher Columbus. I know they bitch asses watched that shit.
You know Italians love Sopranos.
They love Sopranos.
It defines them as a people.
Why y'all like being thugs?
How's it feel to hear that? Huh, Italians? How's it feel to be thugs?
No, they know what it is.
Like to call black people thugs. How's it feel to be... You just aspire to be thugs? A bunch of mobsters? Dude, a bunch of Persians?
Dude, we call t-shirts after a Italian racial slur. Dagos.
My wife beat her.
Yeah.
But past a couple generations, you stop claiming that and just start claiming American. And I'm a white American, and
but why? Why do you have to lose that? You can be American and hold on to that, because that's the whole purpose of America, ain't it?
I feel like you gotta let things go. You should be aware of it, but you want to be more present than you are informed by the past. That's kind of my basic way of going through life. It's more about adjusting to the present than holding on to anything. You can let go. We need to talk about mental health, teaching people to know how to have mental health, how to rein in their emotions and not just live at the whims of their emotions. These are broader social invisible issues that need to be addressed.
It'd be fun to live at the end of your emotions, though.
Cancel invisible culture.
Hey, cancel culture. Can we cancel culture?
It's in its dying throes.
No.
They got a big one with Chris D'Elia.
Bro, here's the thing. Y'all trying to cancel people with money already. When they trash ass human
Don't make them go after broke people. I'll be fucked.
You already fucked.
Don't take my chicken job away, God damn it. Let me get millions first. Can I get enough to retire? I'll live quietly.
You live quietly? No.
No, I mean, I'll spaz on the internet, but I don't need to have a fucking mansion. If I can just take care of the family in humble means, I'll be the wildest person you've ever met.
No, I feel you. Real talk, I feel you on that, though. I do.
We should talk about Chappelle.
Yes, we should.
Don Lemon responded to him. I'm canceled from Twitter because of Don Lemon. I called him an Uncle Tom, and he reported me. Fucking bitch ass. I called him and Charlamagne that.
Why?
Because of the way they cover Kanye, where they threw him under the bus, and they just completely misunderstood his situation about, like...
And then afterwards ran to do interviews with him.
Right. Charlamagne was so calculated where he held off on throwing Kanye into the bus until the interview came out. And then he went, I'm going on a tour because then I'm starting an HBO show based off of Kanye's an idiot.
But then his rape allegations came out.
And so I know he didn't report me because on a different account, I've thrown his rape allegations at him a million times and he's never reported me. So it had to have been Don Lemon's ass. They reported me for calling him an Uncle Tom because he was misreporting on Kanye West saying that slavery was a choice. Shouldn't be, you're an adult, a thinking human. Shouldn't be that hard to understand what I was saying, Don. Fuck Don Lemon.
Okay, so Chappelle...
So Don Lemon reported or responded, and they said that Dave Chappelle released a new Netflix special. He didn't. He did release this on Netflix's YouTube account, but he released it for free to the YouTube community, or to everybody. And it was just a 20-minute special called, what was it, 8 minutes and...
8:46.
8 minutes and 46 seconds about George Floyd and the riots and everything going on.
Yeah.
And one thing I really loved about it, we gotta talk a lot about Chappelle.
Yeah.
Those fucking dumbass celebrities did the black and white video of, like, I take responsibility.
Oh, that shit.
Which is like, oh good, we got a PSA from you. I guess we can all relax and go home because it's taken care of.
That parody that you put up?
You mean the one that Kurt Metzger stole from me? This is now twice in 2 months that Kurt Metzger has stolen from me. You got one more time, Kurt. I'm coming for your fucking throat. I like you, but you keep stealing from me. I will slit your fucking throat, Kurt.
I didn't know he G'd that.
He took something in Lewis's cartoon.
I saw yours, so, yeah.
Yeah, but Joe Rogan played his. That's like that white lady getting the book deal. I was like, oh, yeah, because, you know, he's established. Let's go with his. And he doesn't talk shit about people. Let's go with the safe guy. So that was really tone deaf. And really, they don't realize how much they're playing into the system. And just fucking, it's just wrong. And Chappelle had the whereabouts to say, like, now is not the time to hear from celebrities. The streets are speaking.
Yeah.
This isn't about me.
Yeah.
And people are asking me to say that. I'm going to say something, but I'm here to listen because you guys are the ones that are telling me.
Yeah. Does he get it?
I don't know if I got a broader point other than, like, he was the first one. He articulated it the right way.
Yeah. Yeah.
He called out that white lady that said, what did she say, like, LeBron's just shut up and dribble?
Yeah.
While some football player was being called out.
It was, because, you know, Ian don't follow no sports.
I follow nothing.
But if you do follow sports, Undisputed with Shannon Sharp and Skip has been killing it. But anyways, yeah. So she told LeBron that he need to shut up and dribble when he called Donald Trump a bum.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And news reporters
act like they got all the integrity in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, what? You tell them the truth?
And then
I should shut the fuck up because you tell them the truth.
And so then Drew Brees, he said, you know, kneeling is against the flag and da-da-da. And my grandfather was in World War II and blah-da-da. And she was like, oh, he's an American and he has a right to his opinion as an American, da-da-da-da. And everybody was like, bitch, wait, hold up.
Well, she responded to Chappelle in a tweet and said, I'm flattered that I was mentioned in one of his historic specials. That's power. So she's just like, I've sold out to the game. I play the game. I'm making game-playing power moves. You can't catch me. I'm here to be evil. Mm-hmm. You told on yourself, bitch.
So did Candace Owens. She basically said something along those lines.
One of the things Chappelle said in his older...
And so did Don Lemon. They all loved it. And it's like, no, you think that we're stupid, though. Like, you think we watch
Most people are. The news appeals to the lowest IQ. That's the standard of propaganda.
True.
Mein Kampf, Chapter 5. Yep. Go learn your rules of propaganda. Say little and say it a lot. Always appeal to their emotions. Speak to the dumbest people. Accuse people of things that you're guilty of.
Yep.
So they Projection. Accuse these people of racism, but they can't acknowledge any inherent within broadcasting. Chappelle said something really dope Projection. a couple specials ago. And this is an idea that I hope he unpacks in his next special because it's really important.
Projection. You got a lot of projection, man. Like, all of the... Like, the press secretary...
People are usually guilty of the things they accuse you of. Someone's calling me something a lot, I go, oh, you got an issue with that.
Yo, I had a conservative come at me when I made fun of the new press secretary. I was in my stories. I was like, look at this bitch, y'all. I was like, y'all know why. I was like, hold up. And I posted a picture of her. I said, y'all know why that this chick is in this position. Y'all know what it is. And what it was that she's this beautiful blonde chick. She went to Harvard. She's actually really smart. The thing is that she is...
Allegedly, you gotta be.
Yeah. Allegedly. She is playing into the whole Trump bullshit. She just shuffled papers and deflects. Shuffling papers and projects. The first thing out of her mouth at her first press conference was, I will not lie to you. And I was like, you about to lie. Like a motherfucker.
Which, I'll tell you the thing about trolling is, like, if people call me out, I never answer a question. I respond with an accusation or a joke, or I change the subject, but you'll never get an honest word out of me if I'm trolling you. And that's exactly what politicians do.
Yeah.
What's wrong when I do it? To fuck up the flow of society, to be disruptive and, like, screw things up a bit. But these people that are playing the game, the ones that are manipulating you, Chappelle, I want to talk about this last point.
Sorry. Yeah, let's get back to the man.
In like a couple specials ago when he was at the Comedy Store, mm-hmm. he was talking about like when they ended the apartheid, mm-hmm. he was saying this about the Me Too movement. He's like, you didn't put the people on trial, you put the system on trial. Mm-hmm. Because the system is what's fucked up. The policing system is what's fucked up. And mm-hmm. yeah, cops need to be held to account, but right now it's not fuck all cops because they're... Systemic means system, and they're part of the system.
Right.
They're a victim of the things that are wrong as much as everybody else is. They're being mm-hmm. forced to shoot these people. So we need to put the system of policing on trial, and that's a conversation that needs to get, like, disseminated and spread around. The concept of, like, all right, let's divorce all the people from the issue, and let's address... Why would they even want to... Like, why would they even do that? Are there factors in the way we make them do the job that would cause them to do that?
I knew what the police force was when school shootings and shit were happening. And the reason why I say that is because every time that shit happened, we just got more and more used to it. And whenever there would be people who would come out as the voices of people talking about, hey man, we need to do something about the way people purchase guns. Like, we need to do gun reform. If you worried about your health, your safety, all this, that, and the other as a cop, I feel like they should have been the first ones there like, you know what, yeah, dealing with this shit, yeah, we do need to do something about this because this is what's happening.
A meme I saw going around, hold on real quick, a meme I saw going around was, police kill less people a year than the common flu. Riots kill less people a year than the common flu. But yeah, we need to have reform to bigger issues. And when you reduce it to, when you use racism as a scapegoat and you say it's this cop, and by the way, it was like a white cop, a Chinese cop, a beige cop.
In Atlanta, it was black cops.
It was five black cops and one white cop.
Yeah.
And the five black cops lost their job.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right.
And the head of the police was a black woman. So it's like, dude, like, we know, that's the thing, is I was listening to, when I was driving up here, to NPR, and they were talking to three black police officers, and they from different regions, and they talked about how and why they got into being a police officer. And they talked about how, like, when they joined the force, people was like, black people, like, I ain't fucking with you. Like, what, you went and sat up there, and it was different generations of police officers. So it was like 60s when he was like the first black police officer on the force. Then it was like the 80s. Then it was like late 90s. And so it was like this chunk. And then it was
from,
like,
afros to flat tops.
Yeah, fam. On life, exactly. And they all experienced that. And I was like, throughout this whole time, black people have not trusted the police. Because of
They were started for the wrong reason.
So we ain't never. So that's the reason why I say the revolutionaries and all that, the rebels, whatever you want to call them, they all were saying the same shit. And they're like, no, we're saying it for everybody because, like, history keeps repeating itself. Like, y'all don't know this history because y'all don't have to know this history. But we let our kids know this history. And they know the history. And they keep transferring this knowledge of this. Because what's funny about it is the fact that y'all didn't know. The proverbial white people, y'all.
Well, and what you're transferring is knowledge about white people.
Yeah.
My buddy had a post the other day where he was like, you teach him about, like, Zeus and some other. I teach him about Osiris and some other.
So, yeah, it's just like you're... it's a transfer of knowledge and shit. So it's like...
But this is a pretty common conversation on our level. We've both had this conversation with a million different people. But it somehow doesn't bleed into the mainstream conversation. This more practical, more honest conversation.
Well, mainstream
cards on the table.
Mainstream is corporate. You know what I'm saying? And once you go corporate, you gotta sanitize the message.
That's why you gotta burn CNN down.
Man, you gotta burn it all down.
If you guys want a change, if you want real change, media, policing, hit these bigger, broader issues.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest changes is, man, fuck Hollywood, fuck New York, fuck LA, man. Like, I'm so tired of the idea of moving there to try to appease a bunch of hipsters and pedophiles, fam. Like, what are we really doing? Like, why are we investing so much into these motherfuckers and they be on fuck shit? And if we be having local motherfuckers that do that type of shit, but they don't even have the means. But, like, if we transferred the money to the means to that and had local shit.
Oh, you redistributing wealth?
Yeah.
Well, why? The technology is what levels the playing field.
Yeah.
Just like podcasting now, you can basically have your own radio show. YouTube, you can have your own TV show with all the apps and shit. I have my own fucking animated series. I have two animated series. I do it on my phone.
Yeah.
The technology is what, smashes those barriers, which this is one thing I want to say to all the revolutionaries is, like, the technology is going to change a lot of this stuff if we're invested in moving forward as a species.
Yeah.
It's going to take it. Like, we've gone a long way from, my friend's grandmother was born a slave.
Yeah.
So, like, two generations to we have black billionaires. It may seem shitty, and it is, but we've come a long way really fast.
Yeah.
So don't get discouraged. Don't because, feel like...
Because... And that's the thing that... Ian, like, that's the thing about it is, like, you're telling us that we're, like... What is it, 12 to 14% of the population, but our effect is global?
Yeah.
Our spending is billions?
Top athletes, top musicians, billionaires, presidents.
No, presidents.
Black Wall Street. Well, president.
You know what I'm saying?
And let Hillary get a tan.
Hey, man, fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. But no, like, all of that shit is like... Yeah, I guess if I was a certain type of white person looking at that situation of like, man, y'all motherfuckers are not supposed to be able to even do that shit. Like, I look like this. What the fuck are you doing?
That's that threatening of like, your accomplishment is my inferiority. What's up, man? Hey, little baby. We're tailgating in the park. Hey, sweetie P. Hey, baby. We got a little cutie patootie.
Little cheeks.
Guys, check out.
Obviously.
Yeah.
We just moved in like 2 days ago, so.
That's crazy.
It's good to see some people hanging.
Tough. It'll be way better once, you know, quarantine's over. They're opening up the pool.
I know. That's what I'm hoping for.
How old is the little one?
He is 8 months.
8 months. Let me tell you, he'll start sleeping more.
Yeah.
Right, mine's 2 years old. It gets better. It gets easier.
Okay. His mom blames me for every time he wakes up. It's Dad's fault.
Oh.
Are you playing a game or something?
Was I playing soccer? I mean, or... Oh, yeah. I thought you were playing a game. No.
No, I'm making noise, waking up the baby.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I was just literally on my phone.
Why are you waking that baby up? You know she's tired.
How
about you quit being a dickhead?
Yeah. I play guitar for this guy if he needs to. That helps him go to sleep a little bit.
Car rides are a magic trick.
Yeah. The guitar.
All right, we're recording a podcast. It's a weird.
Right on.
Yeah, so I'm gonna wrap it up real quick. I apologize. You've been on the show. Guys, check out the Happy Corner podcast.
Yeah.
On Twitch. Where can they find you?
K Marion Comedy on Instagram, Kimberly Marion on Facebook. Cause yeah, I'm old and I'm still on there. And the Happy Corner podcast on Instagram.
You know this podcast. Go check out my cartoon Philip Wave on YouTube, Philip Wave Radio,
Happy Corner
on Twitter,
on YouTube. Boom.
KBS Cartoons in the works.
Dude. I need some animation shit, man.
We'll get together. I'll show you my tricks.
Okay.
Check out Ross Dog, RDA LLC. Griggy Man on Friday. Fight Club on Saturday. With Apologies on Sunday. We might actually be back with stand-up comedy next week. If not, I'll do a regular podcast. Deuces.